Welcome to the Tough Talk Podcast, your weekly sports podcast rambling and debating all your favorite sports. Previews, recaps, predictions, and more. Only here at Tough Talk. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at Tough Talk Pod. Now, here are your hosts, Christian and Derek.
Hey, Christian, how's it going today?
Hey, how you doing, Derek? And welcome, everybody, to Tough Talk Podcast. Glad you guys are here, and I hope you enjoyed this episode as we take you through a crazy week of sports, NFL, NBA, and hockey, and, you know, a couple other sports, too. But, Derek, I'm glad we're here, and we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, the first thing I want to get to is last night's Thursday Night Football. Usually we do this in the second half of everything. I want to talk about it first because the game was kind of a snooze fest. Four interceptions by Mason Rudolph. It looked like Cleveland was all but, you know, winning the game. I took and I actually turned it off. Then all of a sudden I get a message from you saying, "Are you watching this game right now?" And I'm thinking, there's no way the Steelers have made a comeback, right? And then what I seen actually made me sick to my stomach a little bit. It was not a football play at all, was it?
No, it wasn't. Myles Garrett takes the helmet off Mason Rudolph, quarterback for the Steelers, and hits him over the head with it. It was disgusting. Disgusting play. Yeah, I know that there was, pushing and shoving on both sides, and there might have been smack talking on each side, but whatever happened, you know, preceding that helmet hit, to me doesn't matter because Myles Garrett went over the line with that helmet hit. That was just uncalled for. Honestly, it's assault. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's suspended for a pretty long time. And after watching that a few times, personally, I mean, I know Myles Garrett's a great player, but this is just something that's uncalled for. And I wouldn't be upset to see him never play another play in the NFL again. That's just something that's uncalled for. And it shouldn't ever happen in this NFL league, ever.
Absolutely not. And the problem I had with it the most is, like you said, it's not only assault, but it's actually assault with a deadly weapon because that's a metal helmet with a little bit of padding on it. And he hit him with the metal of the helmet. That is assault with a deadly weapon. And if you did that out on it, like with anything, you would be locked up for it. And honestly, I wouldn't be mad if they actually do press charges on him. The other thing you said, you wouldn't be mad if they don't suspend him for the rest of his life and just actually ban him from the NFL, and I'd be okay with that as well. I said I don't think he should come back until the 21-22 at the earliest. That was just an absolute bad play, and it puts a really bad image on the sport, too, because that is a primetime game. That's the winding down of a primetime game, and that's how you ended the game on your team. Your team was already out in the lead, you didn't need to do anything like that, and you went ahead and just ruined your reputation and made your team look bad. However, Baker Mayfield, after the game, really came out and said what needed to be said from a quarterback that looks like he's ready to take over this franchise.
Yeah, it was a classless move by Myles Garrett. It really was, and I don't condone it at all. I think it was a terrible play, and if he's suspended for however long, it's due justice because he needs to be suspended, fined, and whatnot. It just wasn't good. And what Baker Mayfield said, yeah, that was great. He did exactly what he needed to do, take back his franchise after winning two games in a row. And he wasn't disrespectful towards Myles Garrett because at the end of the day, that's still his teammate. But he was still straightforward enough to say, hey, that was wrong. And he needed to be that leader, that star, that celebrity for that Cleveland Browns team that he is. And he did a great job with that. So I will say a great job on Baker Mayfield. However, for Freddie Kitchens, I don't think he did a great job on his press conference. I think he had some terrible quotes regarding that people get hit with helmets to helmets all the time, things like that. And I don't think that was a great call. But both quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph, had some professional conversations on the post game, especially Baker Mayfield.
Jarvis Landry also didn't have the greatest statement about it. He was actually laughing about it until he seen the footage, and then he wasn't really laughing. A lot of people, they're taking it for granted because that was actually, like we're talking about, it's actually an assault. And he could have done a lot of damage. He could have actually split the top of Mason Rudolph's head open with that helmet. And then what happens? Then that's an actual assault, and that's actually very dangerous. And it never happen in the NFL. This didn't happen in the old days of the NFL. There may have been slaps to the side of the helmets at the worst of the NFL, but people weren't ripping each other's helmets off and swinging them at each other. That's just not something that happens in the sport, and that's a classless move. And like you said, if he gets banned for it, I wouldn't be completely upset about it because I understand it. He is a phenomenal talent. He is one of those guys that can hit the edge of their line perfectly, but at the same time, what's it worth if that guy's going to do things like that?
Yeah, I'm rocking my Pittsburgh Pirates hat today in the support of Steelers on this side because Myles Garrett, it was just awful. It was a terrible, terrible thing by Garrett, and he hit him with the bottom of the helmet, although it's still a metal side. Rudolph kind of took it like a champ, if I'm being honest. But if he would have hit that on the other side and it was the crown of the helmet, who knows? We could have seen a lot of some terrible things on live television. And, you know, kids watch that, even though it's later in the game. And it's just uncalled for. It's a classless act in the NFL in general, but especially on a national televised event like a primetime Thursday night football game.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get off of that subject and let's get into the NBA. Talking about the NBA East first. I'll let you go ahead and talk about yours first. See what you have talking about.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I have the Celtics at 9-1 and they're playing Golden State tonight. How do you think that's game?
Oh, I'm loving the Celtics. I think the Celtics are an amazing team so far, and I think they're only continuing to get better and finally gelling. It's upsetting that they lost Gordon Hayward to an injury, and he's going to be out for a few weeks, you know, a month and some change, but they look really good. Jason Tatum has really stepped up into a role that I am really enjoying watching as a basketball fan. They're making the NBA regular season relevant, like their team alone. And I've always been a Kemba Walker fan ever since the UConn days. He had some tough times in Charlotte, and he's finally getting some exposure. Really enjoying what I'm seeing out of this Boston Celtics team. Golden State, they're a little tough, that's for sure. They're dealing with injuries themselves, but it's a rough season. D'Angelo Russell's kind of just doing it all himself, and it's just not enough. They lost to the Lakers this week, and they'll probably lose this one too because Boston's a very high-caliber team.
All right, and then I want to go ahead and talk about how the Heat are really good this year. It seems like with Jimmy Butler back, they actually just have a deeper rotation now. I was actually wondering if it was going to cause chemistry issues, but it's actually doing the exact opposite for him. And then Pascal Siakam, he's really looking like he's going to be the leader of the Toronto Raptors. I think averaging 27 points and 9 rebounds, he's looking like he's the guy going forward for this team. And it doesn't look like they lost. Well, of course they lost an MVP candidate in Kawhi Leonard, but this team still looks like they're a competing team in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo is having one of the best years I think I've seen in a long time. He's averaging 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists right now. That's just, you know, ridiculous numbers if you ask me. I think he's really going to make a big move going forward. And then we're going to talk about the bad. We got the Knicks and the Wizards down there at the bottom of the league. My big question to you is, Bradley Beal is an all-star, right?
I mean, you would think. It just hasn't been really shown so far this season.
Well, I mean, he's had the point performances. His points show that he's an all-star. However, his team record is not showing anything of any kind of all-star material, if you ask me. And I'm wondering if he's really the leader going forward with this team, or if they need to move on from Bradley Beal. Maybe look to trade him for somebody else.
Yeah, that definitely, I think, should be in the thoughts of these guys with the new general manager of the Wizards and whatever they decide to do moving forward. Rui Hachimura has been amazing, and they should start making a plan to build around him. They probably won't see John Wall at all this season, and I know they just created a contract extension with Bradley Beal, but that actually might give them some more value if they tried to move him because whoever decides to trade for them will have years on their contract and have him for a few years themselves. So I could see them maybe deciding to make a move here. If they do, it would be definitely for a full rebuild, for blowing it up and build around Rui Hachimura, because this guy is amazing. He's a stud. And I'm sure we're going to talk about him later on when we discuss our Rookie of the Year candidates.
So there's a few teams that stand out when we talk about trading Bradley Beal out of Washington. And one of them that stands out immediately in my mind would be Milwaukee. Easily move Chris Middleton, the younger player, and some picks around for it. Another team that comes to mind would be possibly Minnesota Timberwolves. To put us alongside Wiggins, not to trade for Wiggins, because a lot of people have been speculating to trade Wiggins all year. Wiggins is having his best year so far of his career, and everybody was talking about how he's a potential bust going in. I think he's really showing how good he can be. But let's talk about real quick the Knicks. And the Knicks are bad.
Yeah, they are bad. So what they've been trying to find is a scapegoat this last few weeks. They had a surprise press conference after their loss with the general management, and they're trying to blame the head coach for, well, we gave him a great team, and he's just not capitalizing. Well, when you decide and go out in free agency and miss out on a Kyrie Irving and a Kevin Durant, and you get only some mid-level players that not really many other teams would probably want as starters, but they're your stars, and you expect them to win more than 20 games, it's not the coach's fault. And it's frankly not even the GM's fault. This is all, again, on Dolan. I don't know how many times we've discussed Dolan so many times during the NBA draft and the previews we had over the summer, you and I. This guy needs to go. And we've discussed it over and over again, and it's just not changing. Until that guy is gone, this Knicks franchise is not going to do anything successful, and this season is just proof. So whoever decides to come running for this job, whenever they decide to fire their coach, because obviously he's the scapegoat, and at some point he'll probably be gone, and not many people are probably going to be running to this job because it seems like a career killer right now. It just needs to be Dolan needs to go.
It almost sounds like we're so bad on Dolan that we're talking like it's about to be an Eddie-type situation. They're about to pull somebody off of the street that's teaching a JV team that's up in the crowds yelling at them. That's how bad it is right now in New York. They're about to just start asking fans if they want to come down and coach. I'm literally thinking this could be a real-life Eddie. And Whoopi Goldberg ain't going to be the one. It's probably going to be Spike Lee jumping up and going, I'll take care of this if I have to.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of celebrities that like New York Knicks, and it's a great fan base. They love their Knicks even though they're terrible. They are in New York City, so it's not like whoever decides to buy them are going to have a hard time filling seats. If anybody buys the Knicks, it's going to bring seats. It's going to bring ticket sales right off the bat because Dolan will be gone. A lot of these hardcore Knicks fans know that Dolan needs to go. So if it's Spike Lee or anybody out there, any financial mongol that decides to buy this team and get it out of the hands of Dolan will be a good thing for the NBA and the Knicks especially.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get on to the West because we got to rambling about how bad the Knicks organization, as we usually do, because it's such a bad organization. You got to talk about it. Otherwise, you feel like you're, you know, not doing your services. But let's go ahead and talk about the good things in the West. And so far, the Lakers have looked really good. I think the addition of Dwight Howard has actually really helped this team. Didn't think it would when we went into the season. What do you think about
that? Yeah, the Lakers have been very incredible. And, you know, seeing the Celtics and the Lakers on top in the East and the West reminds you about a decade ago when you had Kobe and, you know, the original big three of Durant and Pierce and it's just in Ray Allen, obviously. So it's interesting for sure. I like the Lakers team right now. I think that they're really gelling between LeBron and AD. Both those guys are in the top 20 in points, but they're not up top. Like, I think AD's 10th and LeBron's 18th. LeBron's third in assists, though. They're both averaging a double-double, which is really impressive. And Dwight Howard is fourth in the league in field goal percentage. He's shooting 73% from the field, which is really impressive coming off the bench. And Jared Dudley, also coming off the bench for the Lakers, is in the top 10 in field goal percentage, too. So I think that we're worried about depth with that team as we were talking in the offseason, and that's really been not an issue so far for them, which has been pretty impressive, and that's why they're 9-2.
All right, and then the Clippers, they've actually looked really good, but last night they lost to the Pelicans. Derek Favors put up a 20-20 game, 20 points, 20 rebounds, and that's a pretty good game. But that also brings questions to how big are the big men for the Clippers? Because Montrezl Harrell is only 6'8". And thinking that they don't have the best rebounding. You're giving up Derek Favors 20-20. I don't think he had the best rebound. Not exactly in the prime of his career.
Yeah, the Clippers had a rough week this week with the loss against the Pelicans and then a rough loss against the Houston Rockets that involved Doc Rivers to be kicked out from the game. And there was some speculation between him and his kid who plays for the Rockets now, which was pretty funny. If you did get a chance to check that out, definitely check it out. It was pretty cool. Austin Rivers was given the call me dad as he was getting kicked out of the game, which was pretty funny. However,
he also put on Twitter, he said, well, Thanksgiving is going to be awkward now.
Yeah, I did see that, which is pretty funny. I think the Clippers are okay, but when you speak of the big guys, yeah, that's their issue for sure. They need to find a way to get that gelling. They need to work on their offensive rebounds a little more. I think that'll help them continue to get some second chance shots, because that really hasn't helped them so far this season. They're 7-5. They're still in a good spot. They're, you know, 6th, 7th in the West right now, but they're okay. They only had one bad week. And Paul George just returned against the Pelicans, and in his debut for the Clippers had 33 points. Yeah, they might have lost, but I think they'll be okay getting Kawhi and Paul George back. The only issue that I see moving forward is how they're going to do their load management scheme, because you know it's going to happen with these two stars.
Paul George looked lost last night. He was over there. He kept looking to help defense on. He was looking lost, and he gave up a lot of points because of his lost help defense. So it'll be interesting to see how he can get going forward there too. Real quick, we're already out of time, but I want to go ahead and say the top 8 teams are only separated by 3 games total. The Jazz with Mike Conley have looked really good this year. Houston, we haven't seen the blow up between the two divas yet, so we'll see how that looks.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right,
we'll see. And then we'll go ahead and just say real quick, the Pelicans, we talked about them beating the Clippers, but that was only their 3rd win of the season. And then the Warriors, like we were talking about earlier, they just look lost without Curry and Thompson. Draymond Green hasn't been far this season. And like you said, it's been the D'Angelo show. But yeah,
2-10. 2-10 for the Warriors already, and they had a losing streak that is already the worst losing streak in the Kerr era, and they're only 12 games into the season. So, yeah, this team is rough, and I know there's talks about maybe Curry coming back later on in the season, but, man, just keep him out. But just rebuild, tank, do your thing.
Absolutely. All right, so then let's get on to, hold on 1 second. My mic wanted to have a little issue and try to fall on me. Can't have my microphone fall in the middle of everything, so that would be bad.
You're good.
All right, yeah. Let's get on to the MVP talks, and I'm going to keep it short, sweet.
Sounds good to me.
Giannis. James Harden, because he keeps putting up the points. Somehow he keeps doing that.
Okay.
LeBron James, because he's leading his team to one of the best records he's had in quite some time, and he's looking like he's ready to keep just playing and keep peak performing. Then my sleeper, and I don't think he even should be a sleeper to people. I think it's just because nobody's paying attention. It's Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns is having a really good year, and he's leading a really good team right now. So interesting to see how they do going forward.
I got 2. That's all I got for you. And I think that these are the two that are going to be battling it out for a while this season, and they've looked incredible. And that's James Harden. I agree with that one on you. He's got 5 40-point games already this season. Anybody else at most has 2, and that's incredible by James Harden. And someone you didn't mention, which I think is in the running for sure, and that's Luka Doncic. This guy is amazing. He's incredible. He had a great game last night, and he had that amazing game with the battle between him and LeBron towards the beginning of the season. He's really stepped up. He's the leader of that Dallas Mavericks team. Once Porzingis finally gets the rust off, those two are going to gel really good, and Dallas might be a sleeper pick for the Western Conference as we go down later in the season. But I like both those guys.
Well, I like Luka as well, but my issue with Luka is he's not on a winning team right now, and his team's definitely not doing much winning. The team looks, like you said, Kristaps looks rusty, to say best. The defense, subpar, and their rebounding is one of their biggest concerns right now. I'm kind of wondering how they're going to do going forward, because I'm kind of concerned about that. And you don't usually see an MVP on a losing team. I can't remember the last time I've seen an MVP on a bad team.
Right. So
if that team does bad this year, I think that pushes him out of the elimination. Plus, this is only his 2nd year, and sometimes the committees do look at that, despite the fact they shouldn't be looking at that.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm still standing by, though. I still think, I mean, they're 6-5, so technically they are a winning team right now, but I'm still sticking with it. These guys are incredible.
See how that is going forward. But anyway, let's just go ahead and get into the rookie of the year. And I want to go ahead and talk about how Ja Morant's been having a good year. Everybody's been impressed with him. RJ Barrett, on a really bad nick, still averaging really good points. Then Eric Pascal on another bad team, but averaging a lot of good points. But the guy I really like is Rui Hachimura because he's leading the team. Oh, it's another bad team. This is funny how every person on this team, except Morant, seems to be on a bad team. Morant just got another game winner the other night. Got a chance to see that. It was actually a really selfish play, but it went in. So they won. I don't know how he's going to look going forward if he's taking plays like that at the end of every game, because they need him to pass that out sometime. But I really do like that team going forward. I think that's a good, young, fun team to watch. Memphis has actually been enjoyable to watch this season. And I'm kind of thinking, honestly, Morant is the front runner. I don't think Zion's going to get into it because he's going to be so late into the season. He may average really good numbers, but he's not going to have enough games played to really be consideration. If I'm being completely honest, I may shut him down for the rest of the entire year, depending on where the Pelicans are at, just to give him a full year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, time will only tell with Zion. I mean, like I said, the Pelicans are on 3-8, so we'll see what happens there. I like John Morant, I really do, but what concerns me is they're already deciding to do load management on this guy, and he's a rookie. So we've seen that already a few times, and that's concerning in an aspect. Rui Hachimura has been amazing. We've talked about him a few times already this episode. I really enjoy Rui Hachimura's play, and I think he's going to be a finalist for a while. And I like Tyler Hero still. I'm still a big Tyler Hero fan. I think he's going to continue to be in that race. And to me, the surprising one, without a doubt, is PJ Washington out of Charlotte. He's really stepped up this season. I did not expect him to be in the running. And Charlotte looks like finally picked a pretty decent draft pick, which they haven't done in a while.
I'm just hoping it's not like the first year thing. It happens with some players. And then we think it's just a sophomore slump, and then the third year comes and they're still bad, and we're going, okay, maybe it was just the first year and now people have figured him out defensively. That's just something I have a concern with rookies like that. But we'll see how it is going forward, because like you said, he does look pretty good so far. This draft class actually looks very solid and contributing pretty much all the positions if you're looking at them right now. A lot of these guys are already contributing. The ones that are surprising me, like Jackson Hayes hasn't been getting a lot of new minutes. And I think that's because, like we said, Derek Favors just had a 20-20 last night. But I don't think Derek Favors is at his natural position at center anyway. So I think if you had him at power forward, he'd be more powerful. And when you don't have Zion in right now, I believe that's a good case. However, Jahlil Okafor is having one of the best resurgence seasons. And I think he may be a candidate for most improved player of the year, by the way he's played this year, because he's just having a complete resurgence in New Orleans.
We've also seen very good play from Okafor, and you said Favors, and also Brandon Ingram in the front court for the Pelicans, which we didn't expect all three of them to perform this well. So having Hayes, you know, kind of take a back seat to that has been a really rough start for him in his rookie campaign, but he's learning. I'm sure he's learning from all this great play from these veteran players.
I'm so surprised to see Okafor contributing as much as he has. That's a guy straight out of college. I actually really liked him. And so to see him playing like this, I'm actually really hyped for him, because he looked like he had just got passed on by time. He looked like a really good early 2000s center, and then it looked like time had just passed him on. Then he's actually worked on his jump shot, worked on his ball handling, and he's became a good center for this. Really cool to see.
But yeah, if they build around this team and they can constantly continue to build around this core, I'm really excited to see what happens when you get Zion Williamson back. And I think if they find a way to next year in the draft, find a little bit more of the guard game to build some younger guard game, even though Lonzo's good, but maybe, you know, to replace a J.J. Redick on off the bench or something moving forward, like a pure shooter from the wing, would be pretty exciting for this team.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to get into a new segment here. We're going to be doing NBA DraftKings. And the reason I want to do that is because DraftKings is an everyday thing, so it's not like the NBA football or the NFL football where we can just talk about it weekly and get you, so, or like the ESPN kind of fantasy-wise. So what I want to do is kind of give you three people to look at for each position for me personally, and then I'll let Christian talk about it. And the reason I want to do that is to let you guys really just get an idea who you could look at on a weekly basis for cheap players. So the people that immediately stand out to me for point guards is Mike Conley, Ja Morant, and Derrick Rose. They've all been putting up really good numbers this year, and they're all around $5,000 each on DraftKings. Shooting guard would probably be Evan Fournier, Malik Monk, and Buddy Hield. All three of them, again, putting up really good numbers, and everybody on this list is probably going to top out at about $7. So that's what I'm really looking forward to building this team, because you got to have a low number of people like that. So the other people, small forwards, Aaron Gordon, and both Bogdanoviches. Just either one of the Bogdanoviches, if you accidentally click on the wrong one right now, you'll be okay, because they're both playing pretty good. Power forward Kyle Kuzma is cheap, playing pretty decent. He gets pretty good numbers when the stars are off the court, so he's been averaging pretty good. Jaren Jackson Jr., I talked about how I like that young player in Memphis. Seems to be one of the key parts of it. And then the other ones are Brandon Clark and Rui Hachimura. Both of them are on the cheaper side of things, so if you got to get somebody on a real low salary, those are going to be the guys you want to get in that situation. Personally, that's who I would take. And then we're going to talk about centers real quick, and I got Thomas Bryant, Cody Zeller, and Dwight Howard. All three guys putting up really good numbers. All three guys got super cheap salaries. I think those are the three guys, personally, if I was to take anybody, I would take all three of them and put them in utility position for how cheap they are. What do you got on that side of things?
When you look at the game tonight between Utah and Memphis, the two guys that really stick out to me, if you're going to play Showdown or Classic or whatever, and they're a little bit lower, about mid-range players, and I think these guys would be great for your captain's spots, because they get good enough points, and if you put that by 1.5 with the salary, they're pretty good. And you could go either way on this, and you could honestly play both of them in your lineup, with one of them being the captain, and that's Jay Crowder and Kyle Anderson for both these guys. Crowder from Memphis has been pretty decent. He's averaging 24 points per game when it comes to DraftKings, 24 points DraftKings-wise. And Kyle Anderson's averaging about 19-20. So you see both of those. You get that, you know, times 1.5 for a captain spot and getting those other guys in. They're only sitting about at 7,800, 8,000 for the captain spot. So you'll only see them sitting about 6 for the regular. I really enjoyed that. And I know you haven't brought that up, but this guy up yet. But over the weekend, Derrick Rose, Andre Drummond, those two guys are a great stack. I've always been a big fan of them so far this season, and I think that needs to continue to play. Those guys are – Rose has not been caught up in the salary yet. Drummond's a pretty high pick. You'll have to spend a little bit on him, but those stacked together equal out to a nice little average median, and I really like those two.
All right, so let's get on to our On the Ice segment with Christian. I'm going to go ahead and let you take over, Christian.
All right, so on the ice this week, we have a crazy week in the NHL. Connor McDavid was absolutely amazing for the Edmonton Oilers. Two hat tricks in 1 week, which was impressive. 6 points for the Oilers in the win against the Avalanche as well last night. Really crazy. So this guy is insane, and he has brought the Edmonton Oilers tied for first place in the Western Conference with the St. Louis Blues. Very, very impressive season so far for Connor McDavid, and very impressed by his play. I mean, to be honest, who isn't surprised? Connor McDavid has been a franchise player since he's came into the league. So very impressed by Edmonton, very impressed by Connor McDavid, and look for more amazing play by him as we continue for the rest of the season. St. Louis has really been holding on, though, for that number one spot. They're both tied with 28 points and look to continue. This will be a battle, I think, for the rest of the season. So let's see what happens as we head into the All-Star break here in a few months. Looking forward to that. On the Eastern side, we have an injury from Sidney Crosby, who will be out for 6 weeks due to a surgery on his abdominal muscles, and that is a big hit for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh hasn't had the best season so far, and we'll look to see if they continue to maybe improve or whatnot. Eastern Conference has been a little up and down this season, and it's just not a good start for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll see what happens there, but Sidney Crosby out for 6 weeks. When you look at the Eastern Conference side, it has been all the Washington Capitals, and they continue to do that. They're leading the entire NHL and the Eastern Conference, of course, with 32 points, and they are up by 5 points to their metropolitan rivals, New York Islanders. So we'll see what happens there in this aspect of things. But to me, looking forward, we've seen this week after week so far. St. Louis and Washington, both the teams who've won the last two Stanley Cup finals, are leading the NHL in points for their respectable conferences. And I keep saying it, this would be so exciting if we saw both those teams face off. It'd be like a best 2 out of 3 kind of thing. You see Washington win in 18, St. Louis win in 19, and we'll see who wins in 20. If that, to me, that'd be really fun to watch. I like both teams too, so we'll see what happens. All right, man, back to you.
All right, I'm actually really crazy. I'm going to go ahead and go back to this screen real quick because I want to talk about that. Two hat tricks in 1 week is insane.
It is.
That's definitely somebody that's going to be having to watch for. That sounds like a really good player. The Blues and I'm really happy to see them doing as well as I really like to see St. Louis, Washington. 3 years in a row would be a lot of fun, and I think that'd be kind of. But let's go ahead and. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say one more thing about Edmonton. They're impressive, and they have Leon Dratzel and Connor McDavid. Both of those are 1-2 in the league, the entire NHL in points. Dratzel at 41 points already this season, and with 15 goals, and Connor McDavid with 37 points with 14 goals. And both those guys are leading the league in points on the same team. Really impressive. Edmonton's a really fun time to watch. So if you get a chance to watch a hockey game, usually they play later on in the nighttime, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern. If you can pick any of them, find an Edmonton game because they're really fun to watch. West Coast, West Conference hockey has faster pace, and it's a really enjoyable game to watch.
I say it sounds like they're lighting it up if they're both leading the league in scoring. But let's go ahead and get into the AFC playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so far in the race, the people I got... the Pats and the Bills, I think those two are going to make the playoffs. Unless there's just an absolute debacle fall off, I think these are two playoff teams for sure. I don't think there's any way they fall off. I think they're both really good teams. Both defenses looked amazing so far. Then we got the Houston and we got the Colts. And to be honest, the Colts have an easier schedule from here on out because the Texans got Baltimore, Indy, and New England next three. I'm kind of worried about that personally because I have Deshaun Watson as my fantasy quarterback. I'm kind of wondering if I should start Jacoby Brissett, but hey. And then we're going to go and talk about the West real quick. The Chiefs and the Raiders. If the Chiefs fall off, this Raiders team looks ready to pounce at any given moment, but it's mm-hmm. is if the Chiefs are going to fall off. They lost last week, but how many more can they really lose? Pat Mahomes shouldn't have came back as early as he did. Pat Mahomes.
Right.
And then the Ravens are kind of just like running away with AFC North. But the other thing about that is the Steelers can come back because last night they didn't have the greatest back from that. They try to be a wild card team. The AFC is still stacked, honestly. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year. I think they're going to just fall short. I think they're going to, 7 or 8. I don't think they're going to get in. And I think it's going to be unfortunate for any kind of Steelers fans. Big Ben, losing him for the year really hurt. James Conner, losing him for multiple games to that shoulder injury really hurt him. Minka Fitzpatrick, that's something they can look forward to for next year, but this team knows that this team is just rebuilding for next year at this point because I don't think they're making the playoffs, and it's unfortunate for all the Steelers fans who've got to see the Steelers in this playoffs for so many years.
Yeah, I like that when you're discussing these teams. I think that the AFC East is already a lock for New England, and Houston looks really good. This game this week between Houston and Baltimore is going to be insane. It's going to definitely decide a lot of things as we move forward. But the biggest thing in the AFC is the wild card race. I think it's a three-team race between Oakland, Indianapolis, and Buffalo. Only two are going to make it, obviously, and it could go either way. Buffalo obviously has the clear advantage right now as they're a game up on everybody, but their offense has been suspect all year, and we'll see if that can change as they move forward. They don't have the hardest schedule, but they still have to play New England. They still have to play Baltimore. They do play Pittsburgh, and they do play Dallas on Thanksgiving. So it's not the toughest schedule, but they still have some tough games moving forward. I still like Buffalo, though, if they can continue to move forward in the playoff race to stay in the wild card race. And if I had to pick one out of Indy and Oakland, Oakland's been on a hot tear, and I think that's going to continue. And I think that the Jacoby Brissett injury, he's not 100% yet, and I don't know if he will be moving forward this week. But Derek Carr has been amazing for that Oakland Raiders squad, and I have them as my sixth seed right now projected.
All right, so let's get into the NFC playoffs now. And San Francisco, still one of the best teams in the league. They lost last week, like I said, they would to Seattle. But that's a three-team race over there. That's San Francisco, Seattle, and L.A. They're all really good mm-hmm. teams. It seems like if you stumble in that division, you lose. And then in the North, you got the Packers being the Packers, as we discussed in the before the season. We discussed that Aaron Rodgers will be Aaron Rodgers regardless. If he's healthy, he's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get you at least 9. They're already right there. So the Packers are who they are. The Vikings are making a real good tear when they started off really not the best in the season. But I'm telling you, if you watch that team right now, that defense is out there playing tough. And Kirk Cousins is finally taking control of his team. And Dalvin Cook is one of the best, if not the best, running back in the league. That can be argued because of Christian McCaffrey, I know. But let's go ahead and talk about him real quick, because Christian McCaffrey and the Saints, it looks like Kyle Allen was the answer to this team. And Cam Newton was kind of the guy who slowed him down, to be honest with you. But they're still chasing the Saints right now. And the Saints are a really good team. Teddy Bridgewater carried this team the whole time Drew Brees was out. And now Drew Brees has came back and didn't look the greatest in his last outing. But we'll see how he is going forward. Then you got the Cowboys and the Eagles. And that matchup right there is always a fun matchup. Cowboys versus Eagles. I want to see that one later here in the year. And also, I don't know. I think Dak Prescott, here in a little bit, if he keeps going, I think he may be an MVP candidate, or he may bust out here in a minute and throw 7 interceptions in a few games. So you never know with Dak Prescott how he's going to go. Carson Wentz doesn't look like the same quarterback he was a year ago, for sure. It's just going to be interesting to see how these are going forward. Who do you got going?
Yeah, I think that right now, the wild card matchups, I mean, obviously you've got your division leaders, but with your wild card matchups with Seattle and Minnesota, whoever has to play those guys in the wild card, yeah, they might have to be away, but good luck. So, I mean, the battle for having a first round bye is really important in the NFC, because these wild card teams are going to be really, really tough. As of right now, like I said, Seattle and Minnesota. Minnesota being the 6th seed right now at 7-3, which is really crazy. They have a 2-point lead over Carolina and Philadelphia. And when you look at the NFC East between Dallas and Philly, you know, there's not going to be a wild card team out of that division. So you have to win the division to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And Carolina's going to have to push, you know, keep winning out, continue to move forward. If they're 5-4 right now, I think their only shot at making the playoffs, looking at Minnesota and looking at Seattle, is if they can go 11-5. So they can only lose one more. And that's going to be a really hard thing to do for Carolina going down the stretch. So we'll see what happens. But as of right now, how the playoffs look, that's pretty solid. I can see that not changing between those 6 teams that are already sitting there, with the exception of maybe Philly might beat out Dallas, but I don't see it happening. I think Dak Prescott is having an MVP caliber season. I don't think he'll win it, but he's definitely in the talks. And Dallas looks really good. You said it right. Wentz does not look like the quarterback he was in the past. Their receiving game is awful. So we'll see what happens in the future. I'm surprised that they're actually even in the talks, even in the running right now, because I think Dallas should be running away with that, but they've let them stay there. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
They've slipped up, and that's why I say, because sometimes I've seen Dak Prescott throw them 3 interception, 4 interception, 2 interception games, and just lose the game for his team. I seen a funny tweet. Brendan Schaefer, he's actually a reporter for the Cardinals, for the website, but he actually said, if the Dallas Cowboys could figure out how to throw a screen pass to Ezekiel Elliott, they would both have 1,500 yards by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not wrong. That offensive line for Dallas is amazing. They don't usually do a lot of those screens right there. So that would be pretty nice to see. And that throws in another question. How long will we see Jason Garrett there? A lot of people are questioning that if they don't make the NFC Championship game, he might be out of a job, which might be the case.
Yeah, and it would be kind of deserving, honestly, because they have such talent on that team that if they don't make, if they miss the playoffs, Garrett's gone, in my personal. Let's go ahead and get into the Week 11 matchups, though, because we're going to go ahead and talk about those Eagles that we were just talking about. And they're taking on the Pats this week. Patriots is a really good team, really good defense, really good offense. Eagles, though, have a chance to make the playoffs like we were talking about. They got to take on one of the best teams, if not the best team in the entire AFC right now. They got to try to beat them. Don't think they're going to do it, though. I think the Pats win pretty easily. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. There's a rivalry that's happened the last few years with this team, going back to the Super Bowl a few years back, and I'm not sure. We'll see what happens. But the four of the last five matchups between these two teams have only been decided by one possession. So it's going to be a tight game, in my opinion. The spread is only a three-point advantage to New England. I know that they're in Philadelphia, so that definitely throws some signs up. And just like you said, Philadelphia is battling for a playoff spot. New England's pretty comfortable right now. New England was also exposed a little bit before their bye week against Baltimore. So we'll see if any adjustments were made by that defense, and we'll see if Philadelphia can continue to expose them. I think New England still wins this game. However, I don't know if it'll be that crazy of a margin. That spread might be pretty correct.
All right, and then the other one I want to talk about from the early games is the Houston-Baltimore game. That's going to be, we already talked about that. That's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a good game. Both defenses really good. Both offenses really good. Two MVP candidates going against each other in this. It's going to be worth it. It's probably going to be the game of the week. If they haven't marked it America's game of the week, that's a mistake by the NFL, because this is the game of the week, in my opinion. There's not going to be a blowout here. We're going to see two good teams going at it, and we're going to see it come down to the final possession. I don't think we're going to see a 10-point spread. I think that's a 3-point game at the most. That's going to come down to, like I said, a one-possession game. 3-point, 4 points, something like that. Maybe even a touchdown, but it's not going to be a close, or it's not going to be a blowout game. There's no way in my personal. Do you think so?
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm actually surprised they didn't flex this game to Sunday night, because this is, as you said, to me, this should be the game of the week. This is easily could be a playoff. This could be an AFC championship matchup. We could see that. We could totally, you know, or maybe a divisional playoff, depending. Of course, one of these teams will probably be a 2. One of these teams will probably be a 3 into the playoffs. That'll probably be what happens. So we're seeing a playoff game in week 11. And I'm really excited to see what happens here. I think that it's going to be really exciting. As we just stated before, Baltimore exposed New England. The Texans' defense is not New England's defense, that's for sure. But the offensive play of the Houston Texans are way more explosive than New England's been all season. So I think that this is going to be a tight matchup. It could come down to the final possession, but I think some points are going to be scored.
And then the other one, I think it's going to be a real high-scoring affair, because New Orleans' defense hasn't been the best this year. I think New Orleans-Tampa Bay, that's going to be a high-scoring affair. If honestly, I think they could probably go over 60 to 70 points combined between the two teams, because that's just how bad the defenses are this year. And it seems Jameis Winston can throw for a ton of yards and a ton of interceptions this year, so be used to seeing that this year, too. The other game I want to talk about real quick is the Kansas City-Chargers game. Now, right now, if you look at the records, the Chargers aren't the best team, but they've been playing very aggressive. And Kansas City, is Patrick Mahomes still rusty? That's the big question for that Monday night game. In that game, I still think Kansas City's going to get it, but I think LA's going to be fighting hard, and I think it's going to be a really good Monday night primetime game. So if you're not doing anything Monday night, definitely something you should probably tune into, because it'll be worth a watch, I think. You're either going to see Mahomes doing Highlight City, or you're going to see a really close game. That's my prediction from that one for sure.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win that game. The Chiefs have won the last 9 of 10 from the Chargers. And Mahomes was rusty last week. However, I think with having that extra day, having a long week, and playing on Monday night against LA, I think he'll be okay. I think we finally see MVP Mahomes back in action against division rival. And I got the Chiefs winning this one. They moved to 7-4.
Yeah, I'm hoping they lose, because I want to see the Raiders go ahead and move ahead of them. But honestly, I'm thinking that they'd go ahead and beat the Chargers. But let's go ahead and get into another thing we're talking about this from now on, because of where we're at in the season, is the award watch. As far as Rookie of the Year offensively, I don't think there's anybody in the conversation except Josh Jacobs. 111 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's the workhorse MVP candidate for Raiders coming forward next few. That guy is the reason that the Raiders offense, we can rely on him for about 4 yards a carry, and that's pretty amazing. Defensively, I got Nick Bosa as the candidate right now for Defensive Rookie of the Year. A lot of people will try to argue Josh Allen. I've looked at the numbers. Josh Allen has 21 tackles, Nick Bosa 29. They both have 7, and Nick Bosa's got a pick this year. Nick Bosa is also on a team that's 8-1 right now, and one of the main reasons that team is 8-1 is pass rush. So that's my two rookies. What's yours?
No, I agree with all of those. I think Josh Jacobs is definitely the clear runner. To me, I think Kyler Murray will be a finalist just based on merit alone. But Josh Jacobs, I think, is running away with that. And when you look at the defensive side, yeah, Bosa and Allen are the clear two front runners. Bosa's got the edge because of the record of the Niners team and because of that interception and because of the national exposure, everything, you name it, he's got it. And if I had to throw one more finalist in there, I think Devin Bush from the Pittsburgh Steelers has really stepped up and played some great football this year too, but I think Bosa's going to run away with it.
I think Devin Bush, because he got off to a slightly slow start, a lot of people won't look at him as a good contender. Also, that team is not the same Pittsburgh team it's been in the past. Yes, the defense has got better, but the team is getting worse, and I think that may, unfortunately, get into the conversation. Like we discussed, sometimes a winning record can determine people's opinion on something, and that's not necessarily the fairest opinion, but it does happen. We've absolutely seen it in the past.
Yep, absolutely. Right,
so my MVP candidates, I'm going to go and let you tell me your MVP candidates, see how close we are.
All right, I'm going to give you three, and I think that it can come down to either any of these. And Russell Wilson is right now my front runner. He's the guy that's leading the charge, and I think he's the guy that could definitely win this competition, win this award for sure. Number two, Lamar Jackson. This guy's been an X factor for this team and is incredible. He's the reason why that they exposed the New England Patriots. He's mobile. He's changing the game, and that's what, you know, both these quarterbacks, Wilson and Jackson, have changed the game, changed position, and it's just incredible. Lamar Jackson looks like Michael Vick 2.0 in a better sense, which is an amazing stat to say. And number three, I got to go for running back on this one, and that's CMC, Christian McCaffrey. Over 50% of the snaps goes to Christian McCaffrey. He's got amazing rushing yards, amazing receiving yards. He's an all-around back, and bringing that Carolina Panthers team to 5-4 with a backup quarterback. He's my number three pick. So I think it's out of one of those three guys. But if I had to give the award right now, it'd go to Russell Wilson.
Real quick, before I tell my top three, number four would be Christian McCaffrey. But I don't think running backs get enough love in these kind of votes.
So I agree.
The guys I have.
I think it's a quarterback award. Sorry. I think it's a quarterback award.
You're absolutely right. Because that's why the Walter Payton Award is so big anymore, because of that. But I'm going to go ahead and go from three to one. Number three for me is Deshaun Watson. He's the reason that the Houston Texans are the Houston Texans right now. He's leading that team, showing why that he was. Number two would be Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson, again, great year, leading Seattle, just beat an undefeated team, showing why they're such a good team. And he's done it year in, year out. But my number one has to be Lamar Jackson. My reason why is because multiple times this year, if you go to look at the leading rusher in the NFL, like for the week, it's been Lamar Jackson. He's beating out running backs for rushing yards and throwing more touchdowns than some of these quarterbacks. I don't understand how he's not an MVP candidate in some people's. Bill Polian still eating him. I think it was Polian still eating himself alive for saying that he was a wide receiver. He really got a lot of flack coming out of college, and now he's showing that he's an MVP candidate. And I don't think it's a fluke. I think it's going to continue to happen because of his mobility and his arm strength. And I think he possibly is the front runner in, I think, my mind personally, and I think it should be in a lot of people's minds, because he's doing things that you haven't seen in a long time. Like you said, Michael Vick 2.0, but a little bit better with the arm accuracy, if I'm being completely honest. Vic didn't have the greatest middle ball to short ball, but he had a great deep ball. As far as that goes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree completely with that. I think this race is very close. I think it's going to continue to be a close race for the rest of the season. I saw an amazing stat, and I think it was a few weeks back, so it might be a little outdated, but they were showing rushing yards through a certain week, and they showed Lamar Jackson's, and they compared him to LaDainian Tomlinson. He had more rushing yards, I think it was through 8 weeks of the season, than LaDainian Tomlinson had his rookie season, which is amazing. Then he's a quarterback, and he's had more rushing yards than LT did during his rookie campaign as a running back, a Hall of Fame running back. So, yeah, I think that Lamar Jackson easily could win the MVP if he continues. But right now, I just have Wilson just squeaked over him.
And I could see that because, One, we're talking about the seniority thing about how Russell's been in the game longer, doing it longer. Two, he does have more touchdowns and more throwing yards. But I just, something about Lamar Jackson and the way he controls that team, I really like it, and I really think he should be the MVP this year. And if he's not even in the top three, that's a snub in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
But let's go ahead and get into a new segment we're doing called Best Bets. And what we're going to be talking about is what we think are the best spreads this week. Me personally, I think that the Colts over the Jacksonville Jaguars, only like a 3-point spread when I first seen this, or when I seen this today, when I was doing my research. I think that's one that's pretty easy to take. Yeah, Brissett is maybe a little rusty, but I think he's going to come back and lead this team the way he's supposed to. Definitely coming back this week. It's been confirmed. Raiders over Cincinnati, I think it was a 7.5-point spread. Maybe even a 10-point spread right now. But it's worth it. This is the worst, historically, the worst secondary we've ever seen. And they're going against Derek Carr, who's on fire right now. That's going to be a game. I don't think there's any way you could do this. Another one I'm going to talk about real quick, and he said he doesn't like it. I like it. New England over Philly. I think the Philly defense is going to fall apart playing Tom Brady, and I think Tom Brady's going to do big things. Actually, the one person I would really say, if you have him in fantasy, to kind of look at, Sony Michel. I think he's going to get a lot of touchdowns. And then the other one that's a maybe, but it's iffy maybe, is the New Orleans-Tampa Bay game. It's like a 7.5-point spread. And the reason I say that one is iffy, because like I said, it's going to be a shootout. We're probably looking at 60 to 70 combined points between these two teams. And while I think they're going to win by at least 14, I just, sometimes you never know, because sometimes Jameis Winston gets some garbage time touchdowns that screw you out of $30. So what do you got going on?
When I look at that game and I look at New Orleans and Tampa Bay, it makes me nervous. Drew Brees is only 4-3 against Jameis Winston, and they had a pretty rough outing against Atlanta last week. I think it'll be a shootout. I mean, we've seen a lot of points scored on that Tampa Bay offense, but 7.5-point spread might be a little too much for me. I'm staying away from that. When we talk about that New England and Philadelphia game, that's only a 3-point difference. It could go either way. It could go either way on this one. And that's why I'm a little nervous about this one, too. As I said, the last few matchups between these two teams have been decided by one possession. So that could either be a field goal or a touchdown. And so if you think Philly can win this game, then, yeah, take it. Take the spread, because all they need to do is win by a point or lose by two. You know, so it's really interesting, these two. But I think that if I had to pick one, I would pick Philly for the spread. Like, I would pick Philly against it for the upset.
And see, I go for New England on that one, because they're going to win by at least 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So we'll see what happens.
Because they got exposed by the Ravens, like you said, mm-hmm. Bill Belichick is such a notorious stickler for coming out of a bye week even stronger than he was the week going in. Yeah. I think that team's going to come out and win by 10. I think historically, that's why.
And I think you got to take the Raiders for sure on that one against the Bengals. Not only are they the worst secondary, they're also allowing 173 rush yards a game. And Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to have a heyday. So make sure you got him on DraftKings for sure, or Yahoo, or whatever you got to do. But I stacked the Raiders this week, because I think the Bengals are just going to – I think they're going to get blown out of the water.
What do you think about the Colts game? It was a 3.5-point game. I had Colts over the Jacksonville. I think it was 3.5 or 7. But I have the Colts winning it, because Brissett's coming back this week, and I think he's going to come back and come back strong.
Well, it all depends on how Brissett plays. If he can play, you know, if he's 100%, then yeah, I think that's a good call. But if we're talking about him as a game time decision again, and we're not sure, and you might want to stray away from it. Jacksonville hasn't been that great. However, we'll see what happens with Nick Foles too. So it'll be an interesting game as we move forward.
All righty, so let's get into the fantasy. First two people I want to talk about are running backs, and one of them you already said, Josh Jacobs. He's going to have a big week this Cincinnati. I don't know if we're going to throw on him or run on him more, but I'm pretty sure we're going to just get too many points. The other guy is Brian Hill. Devontae Freeman is out this week. He's available in a lot of leagues except mine, because the guy who's in first place took him waiver wire. Then I'm going to go ahead and talk about Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a big week. He's going to come back. He's going to come back mad. Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, I think good stack. He always talks about stacks. I'm going to for you. The other person I want to talk about is Josh Allen. Have a big week. The Fins are a really bad team. As far as another stack would go, I would say Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, and either Tyrell Williams or Hunter Renfrow. Both have been doing really good lately, and I think they're both really big weeks. Renfrow is still available in a lot of leagues. Williams, maybe, because he got dropped because of injury, and he hasn't had the best week since. But I think these are guys to look at for sure, and I think these are I think these are the guys that you need to start this week. And what do you think?
I like the Oakland stack with one exception. I would go Carr, Jacobs, and Waller. I think that the tight end play against Cincinnati has been awful. I think Cincinnati is one of the worst teams against tight ends with targets, yards, touchdowns, all the stats. So I think Waller will have a great game. So adding Carr to Waller and Carr to Jacobs, all three, I think that stack will be incredible. So I think all three of those guys. And if you have any money left, if you have enough, honestly, if you could do those three guys with Christian McCaffrey, it'll be expensive. But against Atlanta, those four guys, and then just even if you got to bum it out for the rest of your roster, I think that'll be a great stack for the entire week.
Yeah, it's about to say, I didn't even bring in McCaffrey because he's owned in every single league, and he's so expensive at DraftKings that a lot of people find him hard to build around, like you said. But if you can, do it because he's worth it. And Atlanta's a really bad defense, so... That's two good matchups. And like I said, the Dolphins are a really bad team. So if you can get... Because I think that last time I looked, Josh Allen was a relatively cheap quarterback. He may be the one to get if you're going to go with a high-end running back like Christian McCaffrey this week. Because I think he's going to have probably three touchdowns. I'm hoping not to jinx the Bills, but I really do think that he's going to have about three touchdowns this week. Just because of how bad the Dolphins have been. Dolphins are also trying to fight for their coach right now, but I don't think they need to. I think he's safe, and I think this team needs to just keep on tanking.
I hope you're right.
Right? I really think they're going to have a big week. I also think, like I said, Derek Carr is going to have a huge week. If you have Tom Brady, start Tom Brady, because I think he's... like I said, Sony Michel's another guy I can think of that would be a great one. But anybody else that I can think of, I'll probably put it on Twitter and hashtag Tough Talk behind. Anything else you want to add for this?
No. I think that's a great, great stack, and that was a great episode.
All right. Well, I'll see you next week then, Christian.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tough Talk podcast. Be sure to tune in every Friday as we break down all the major sports topics for the week. Don't forget to subscribe and follow on Twitter at Tough Talk Pod.